Our guest today is Dr. Mitch Friedman and his team leader, Ruth Grimes, from somewhere in New Jersey. Where are you guys from?
Yes, Tinton Falls, New Jersey.
Tinton Falls, New Jersey. And this is a continuation of our superstar interviews. Dr. Friedman has worked with me for a number of years. Ruth came on the scene recently, and they have done some really impressive things in the practice. And we'd like to get you to tell your story, if you could. So, you know, go back to the beginning. Tell us how the practice developed. First of all, for those of you listening, they are, I guess, on schedule for or have already done $165,000 this month. Is that correct?
Yes. Last month, which was September 2002, was $165,000 collected.
Is that a good month?
That was our best month ever.
Okay, so we're going to say that's good.
Oh, yeah.
That's great. All right, so tell us how this happened, if you could. Tell us your story, and Ruth, you chime in whenever you feel like it.
Okay. Great. Well, about... I guess we'll start about in June of 98. I felt that we just weren't going anywhere. We seemed to be stuck at about $45,000, $50,000 a month. I had a great team, but we just weren't going anywhere. And I took them to a Kathy Jamison course, basically just to see that if they wanted to have Kathy Jamison or one of her colleagues come into our office to do in-office training, because at the time I thought that's really what we need. All this time, I was still consulting with Greg, and they really liked Kathy Jamison. Kathy had two of her consultants come in, and we went from $45,000 to $60,000 pretty quickly, which was very nice. Mainly, we worked with systems, but we seemed, and then for about 2 years after that, we were stuck. And then a year ago,
okay, hold on. Can sure. I interrupt you? So you went from 45 to 60 working with Kathy.
Yes.
That sounds like money well spent. What did they do for you?
Mainly systems, verbal skills, really what I like to call all dressed up and no place to go. We were sitting there like at the In-N-Out Burger. Like
so you had trouble communicating yes. how good you were at what you do.
Yes. We were ready to go, and we just didn't have the patience to do it on. We actually got to a point where we would go days in hygiene where I literally hadn't treatment planned anything other than just the hygiene visit.
Okay. All right, so what happened after that?
You told me about 2 years ago about sedation dentistry with Michael Silverman and the docs group.
I told you about that 2 years ago.
2 years ago.
Right, and you started on it right away?
Of course not.
Okay, what happened?
You had to tell me about several people that I happened to know that had started it at that time and were amazingly successful. So last summer, about June of 2001, I decided to do the sedation course with Michael Silverman and Docs. And I agreed to, actually, Greg and Bill Godwin came to my office in August of 2001. And because Greg at the time really thought that my blockage was a capacity issue with space. And then he was able to see,
how many square feet are you in?
We have 950 square feet. That gives us four treatment rooms, a private office, and no room for for anything else. But he saw that with our technology, we're actually able to produce a lot of dentistry in a short amount of time.
It was an incredible experience for me. I just want everyone to know that, and it's hard for me to communicate it. I'll do my best, but I want to do it now while you're here to verify it. It's kind of like going into your office was like going into a theme restaurant. Have you ever been to one of those old barbecue joints where they have plows on the wall and, you know,
right.
all kind of old-timey things hanging? Your office was a museum of practice management from the beginning of time, everything mm-hmm. I've ever heard of. For patient marketing, every tactic, every technique, every before and after photo, cosmetic, mm-hmm. I mean, it's all there. Every bit of technology, right. from the Florida probe to the pump to everything I'd ever heard of. You were doing it all. Is that correct?
Pretty close to it. You know, I like to say that I'm smart enough to, if someone else has a good idea, to grab it. I think Walter Haley says it best when he says that, you know, why create mediocrity when you can copy genius? And I strongly believe in that.
That's good. Okay, so you had tried to organize and high-tech yourself to success.
Yes.
And it only had taken you so far.
Yes.
Where were you at the time that you're referring to when Bill and I came in? Where was the practice?
We were actually going down. Right before, when you came in August, we were in the middle of going down from 60 or 59 to 55 3 months in a row.
So where were you when we met you?
When you and Bill came, I was at the point where I decided that you were right, that I just had to do this DOCS program, sedation dentistry, that I was going to do their, whatever their marketing program was, I was just going to do it because you had seen that it has just been successful for people, other people in my situation and other people who, quite honestly, probably had no business being successful despite themselves and in spite of themselves. And so I made a commitment to that. So you came in August. In October, we started the marketing campaign. Actually, before I took the course and was ready to go, we started the radio campaign with Docs. And then in October, we went to the team training, which was exactly a year ago. I thought we were doing pretty well. And I went to the team training, and I came away from there very humble. In fact, I told my staff on the way home, I said that there were so many offices there that we could emulate. And we were the lowest producing collecting office that was willing to go up into the hot seat. And that, for me, that was very humbling.
But it sure made everybody else feel better, Mitch, to not be the lowest person. So thank you. Now, you're in town here now for one of our training camps.
Yes.
But you will not be the lowest producing practice.
Well, that's the reason why we're very excited, because it's a year later. I really want to, in front of all of Whitehall and the group that's there, let them see us and see our little success story. Maybe that can help others.
You know, your success story is very meaningful to me personally because it falls into the category of only one other person. That's Dr. Roger Abbott. Mm-hmm. You and Roger both call me with the same request. I want to be the biggest, you know, I want to be a lot bigger. Roger's
right.
was straight up, I want to be number one, period.
Right.
There was a couple of people out there ahead of him at the time. Well, I mean, that were ahead of him as he was growing. But when he said that to me, he was at $65,000 a month, kind of in the same vicinity
right.
that you were in. And it's always meaningful for me to get to watch people say, I'm going to do this, and then they go do it.
Right.
Now, Roger was making leaps and bounds while you were stalled. You stalled for a year and a half or 2 years.
Right.
And, you know, it wasn't for lack of trying. There was nothing you weren't willing to buy or change and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were really consciously trying to be successful. And I think that's important because a lot of people out there think, well, you know, maybe these people that are doing so well just have something going for them. You know what I mean? They're real talented, real gifted, and so forth. And whatever you were, it wasn't making you any more than $50,000 a month for the most part. But you said, I'm going to do better. And another reason that this story is meaningful to me is because you tried so hard, so unsuccessfully, but you didn't quit trying.
Right.
You stayed at it for a couple of years and finally had some breakthroughs. Can you tell me about those breakthroughs? Besides conscious sedation,
mm-hmm.
was there anything else that would, you know, that you changed? I know Ruth came on and so forth.
Right.
Anything else you changed?
I did a bunch of things at the same time. I think the oral sedation is a big part of it. I think having someone like Ruth, who's not afraid to talk to money to patients and work out finances and offer them a monthly payment solution, is a big part of it. And then there were some little things at the marketing seminar at Docs. Jim DeMullen looked at me and told me to shave my beard. And I had a beard for 26 years. I was always thought of myself as the guy with the beard. My wife never saw me for 25 years. She never saw me without a beard. My kids never saw me. And I really considered it. And finally, I asked my wife, I said, is it okay if I shave my beard? What do you think? She says, I'd like to see you without a beard, which shocked me again. And I shaved it off. And I think it's all part of this evolution. You know, a big part has been the sedation again and the outside financing. Last month, where we did $156,000 in collections, we actually had $95,000 in outside financing.
Wow.
That was also a record.
I want to get to that, but I want to back up because I remember talking to your staff probably going toward 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Your staff told me that working with you was a challenge, and they said that you overwhelmed patients and that a staff meeting with you was like listening to someone whine for a raise for an hour and a half. This was their exact words. I know these people still work for you, so you don't want to go
right.
back and pay them
no,
back
that's
for
fine.
Me saying this.
That's fine. I
But the
I
reason
understand.
I bring it up is because when the time was right, you know, I waited a few weeks, and I talked to you pretty directly about
mm-hmm.
that. And, you know, you didn't go back and fire them. You didn't get upset. You said, okay, I'll change that. And you know, that's a pretty hard thing to change, right. But if it's kind of a reflection of a personality you've been comfortable with, you changed it.
Right.
And staff got on the phone with me and said, man, this guy's, he's a different guy.
Right.
And the numbers were coming up then. We were seeing some $75,000 months as you got your case presentation smoother.
Yes.
Got your staff to believe in you again. But, you know, docs, oral sedation really was a big, strapped the rocket on the backside of the practice, no doubt.
Right. Well, that's why I like to say we were all dressed up and nowhere to go. Docs has brought, and the radio, along with the internet, the website, and all the yellow pages has brought it all together, and brought the kind of patients into the practice that on a I'm not trying to treatment plan $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 cases as we had last month, but they're just there.
Right.
It's not hard. Before, when my staff said that, you know, I was the problem with case presentation, I would see a patient with periodontal disease and a mouthful of humongous, broken down, decayed amalgams. And I would say, okay, well, we have to do the periodontal disease, and let's just do these two teeth because they're the worst. And the patients would freak out from that treatment. And that's even with the intraoral camera.
You tuned it down as far as you could, and it was still overwhelming.
Yes. Now, I'm just telling them.
One thing I want to say, too, is that you told me you could do the dentistry.
Yes.
You weren't afraid of the dentistry. And I hear this a lot. But when it really did finally show up, you didn't falter. A lot of people say they can do it, but when we really start pouring it through there,
right,
they start saying things like, gosh, you know, do I ever get a lunch period? I mean, am I going to have to work till 7 every night? They start complaining, and you never did. And I
really felt it was growing pains, and I felt it was something that had to be worked through. When we first hit $100,000 in collection, which I believe was in January, the end of the month, I felt I needed the month's vacation.
Wow.
I was just absolutely exhausted.
But now you've kind of gotten in condition for.
Oh yeah, this is our new default setting. We're ready.
You're comfortable.
Bring it on.
Is that right?
Oh,
how
yeah.
long did it take you to go from feeling a bit overwhelmed with $100,000 to now feeling comfortable with $160,000?
It took a few months. I would say the hardest time was after that $100,000. I was gasping for air. I really felt just absolutely exhausted. And I was also treatment planning and treating cases, larger cases that I had never done before. And I was always used to doing it by the seat of my pants. A root canal comes in, let's do it. A crown comes in, let's do it. You know, no problem. And here I am, oh my God, I don't have preoperative models. I'm not ready to make temporaries. And I had to work through that. So now at the initial visit, if Ruth goes and sells the case, or gets the financing taken care of, we take preliminary models and I do whatever I have to do for the next visit. We don't have them back for a consultation visit. We do everything at that first visit. And we've been amazingly successful with it.
Okay,
surprisingly successful.
Okay, can we take just a minute now and talk with Ruth? Is that okay?
Sure.
Ruth, we refer to you as a team leader because there's really nobody like you or very few people like you in dentistry. You have a different compensation package than a normal staff person. You have your own bonus system. You're somewhere between a staff person, a manager, a partner. You're a lot of things in this practice, and you really have taken ownership, no doubt about it. You really see it as something you can invest in. Tell me what you found when you came to the practice. What was waiting for you? Because you came on about the time of the conscious sedation, about
right.
the time everything started
oh,
to happen.
Oh, right, yeah, in October. What did I find? I found an office that was, just as Dr. Friedman said, totally ready for, all dressed up. You know, the systems were all in place. I had never been in an office like that.
Super tuned up.
Super tuned up.
But no production
right.
to speak of.
Right. There were lots of gaps in the schedule and, you know, just...
So then really what you are both telling me is that patient management, first of all, getting a better quality patient through the DOCS program, getting a patient that wants a lot of dentistry, and then your ability to manage that both from a case standpoint and from a financial standpoint really started to make a difference.
Right.
All right. Ruth, you came into the sedation picture. What have you learned about making a sedation practice successful? I mean, what are the challenges and how have you gone about overcoming them?
I think one of the most important things other than the financing, which I'll talk about, is Just making, these are special, these are patients who are just, they're a unique breed, or, you know, they're very high fear. From the initial phone call when they call, when they hear us on the radio.
What have you learned about getting them in the door once they call?
Listening to them and making them feel like they're not abnormal, that they are, that there are many people like them out there, and that we're not going to judge them. That's the most important thing. They're afraid. Is the doctor going to, is he going to yell at me? Is he going to say, oh my God, how could you do that to your mouth? How could you stay away for so long? That's one of their biggest
so
fears.
So it's not just the fear of dentistry. It's right. The fear of how you're going to respond to their neglect.
Exactly, yeah.
So you have to reassure them on both counts.
Right.
I'm not sure
right.
We've really communicated that
right.
to our listeners.
It's very important. And I find when they come in, bonding with them on the phone and listening to them, when they come in, they already feel like, and just the systems that we have in place, sending them out a whole package of, you know, Docs has that set up where the letters and the tapes, they feel like they know us already when they're coming in. And Dr. Friedman calling them before they come in to their initial appointment, they feel like they already know the office, and they feel much more comfortable.
Okay, I have to tell you that the majority of the people that we send toward conscious sedation will complain within a short time of their initial ads that to us that they're not getting the quality of patients they had hoped for. Now, let me explain. There's plenty of dentistry needed. Mm-hmm. That's not the problem. It's just that people don't seem to have the money.
It's out there. They have. It's just a matter of getting them financed. There's. You have to. We have many resources. We have maybe six or seven different companies that we use. And if we can get, if we have a $25,000 case and the patient only qualifies for $3,000 from care credit, I'll try Enhance or a couple other ones to get the difference. And usually, it's not a problem. We very seldom have a patient who's just flat out doesn't get approved.
Have you ever had any great success stories where you got people with very little money or no money and you somehow got them over?
Well, a lot of patients come in that way, that where they really, they're like, they know that they have a lot of dentistry. They know, they're kind of, it's not a shock to them when they hear the amount.
Yes.
So I think they're already in their heads, they're already working it out, like, how are they going to do this? And then they're just so relieved when they hear that there is a way for them to do it, that they can get it done and they can make small monthly payments, and this is not going to, you know, we're going to find something that works into their budget.
So you ever had somebody who's really hard to get financed, but you use some creativity and...
Well, yeah.
Dr. Friedman, chime in. You've probably seen
well, Ruth's on a roll here, but I've seen her be in the private room for an hour, and she finally comes out. She's exhausted like a prize fighter. And then I happen to look at the end of the day, and she got some of the money through care credit, some of the money through Enhance, some of the money through
patient finance
or American Investment Bank, and she got the whole thing. Or she's had people, their parents go out and refinance their house. Or one guy, I think the first, actually, this is a great story, because Ruth's first day on the job, we had a guy who was about 40 years old, came in with his parents. And this was when Ruth was first starting, and I'm pretty sure we had them back for a consultation. We did the exam, and I did the treatment plan. We had them back for consultation, and I'm sitting there with the mother, the father, and the son, 40-year-old son with Ruth, and the father's asking questions. And I said, well, do you have any other questions about the treatment? And he says, no. I said, well, then I'll leave you with Ruth to work out the financing and also the appointment schedule. Nice meeting you. I walk out, and I went right to my staff, and I said, don't be surprised if Ruth comes out for a check for the amount and paid in full. This is Ruth's first day on the job. Ruth came out with a check for about, I think it was $20,000.
What's the objection you usually get, Ruth, and how do you handle it?
The objection? I don't usually get an objection from the patients as far as they accept the treatment. It's just whether or not they can get the financing. They're sold on the dentistry. It's not usually a problem. They come in, and Dr. Friedman does a great job with the presentation, the consultation. We have everything set up for them. They understand everything. So I don't usually get an objection as far as accepting the treatment.
Dr. Friedman, what have you learned about sedation cases relative to case presentation? Is there anything unique or anything special about it?
The most important thing is that these people are afraid you're going to judge them. You're afraid. They're afraid you're going to come in.
I think
and
they're kind
say,
of low life. Yes. Types. Okay.
Yes. And I come in and I do the Roy Smith without the Southern twang. How can I help you?
Right.
And I just let them talk. And I just nod my head and I'll say, I understand. That must be terrible. Tell me more about that. I'll do all that. And they just talk and they just spill it out. And I already know they've probably done this to Ruth on the phone also. And if I've been able to contact them the day before and speak to them, what I ask them is there anything you want to ask me before your visit tomorrow? And then the last thing I say is, do you know where we're located? Just so they get able to get there. And usually I send them to the website, or we actually have directions in the new patient packet, which we send out. And then I just listen, and I give them back exactly what they want. And usually they'll tell me that the last dentist they went to judged them or dismissed them or just made them feel less as a person. And I just tell them that I would never do that. And I show them that I would never do that also.
Some of the doctors I work with who are contemplating conscious sedation mm-hmm. are afraid that it will attract a class of people that they have that they don't want to work with. You mm-hmm. know, like people that are troubled. You know, the kind that the teeth never fit right or, you know what I mean? Just troubled cases. Have you encountered more of those than you would have thought? Or
yes, but I've thrived at it.
Tell me what you mean.
I treat it as a challenge. I know someone who's used to running around the office and it's like, you know, looking at their watch all the time is not going to be comfortable with this. The bottom line is it's not unusual for us to have two or three new patients come in that day and collect $25,000 from them.
From that group?
From that group. It's just not, so to me it's like.
What's your biggest day now?
Actually, it was last week. Ruth, go ahead.
What was it, Ruth?
Last week we did, two days in a row were really good. We had a $30,000 day, I believe, one day, and the next day was, I think it was 41.
$41,000.
Okay. Strung back to back.
Yeah,
That was
nice. That was nice.
That's now, we've also had days, because there is some buyer's remorse here.
Right.
There are some days where someone says, yes, I want to do this. And then they go home, and then, or even a few weeks later before their appointment, and they back out. They have buyer's remorse, and they want their money back. And Ruth works with them and tries, you know,
I try as hard as I can.
Reminds them that I mentioned at the visit that I'm putting everything in priority order. And if they need to scale it back, if they need to just do it, take more time to get it done, they'll still get the same result.
Ruth, what have you learned about those people? Why are they backing out, do you think?
I think the key is to get the spouse in for the consultation
really?
Or the partner.
So somebody to kind of hold their hand and
yes.
Encourage
well, I
them.
Think you know they'll accept it and we'll get them financed. And on occasion, they'll go home and tell their spouse, you know, oh, I'm getting $20,000 worth of dentistry done, you know.
Right.
And they don't have. I think it just makes it a lot easier if the spouse is there so that they can hear, they can speak to Dr. Freeman, they can speak to me, they know what. Their spouses, you know, what the needs are and why it's going to be that the investment that it is.
So what's the procedure then for a sedation patient? They call on the phone, then you have them come in, and then you have them come in again with the spouse, or the spouse comes in the first time?
We try to have the spouse come in with them the first time. I always try to encourage them. Doesn't always happen if they're working, but we try to encourage that. So they come in just the one time. We do the new patient examination, the x-rays, the consultation, the financing, everything that first visit.
You know what? We've got you here. I know this is kind of a practice management interview, but just clinically, is there anything you've learned about sedation as far as, you know, clinical dentistry, getting them numb, living with that, you know, so that it doesn't – how do you make it predictable, the way you have made the rest of your practice predictable?
It's actually much more predictable. I find I have less post-op problems – for sedation patients than other people. I can do a regular person roller root canal and they'll be sore for a couple of days. Or I could have a sedation patient where I've done three root canals in the same visit and they feel terrific the next day. We've had several patients, actually one guy this week who we took out, he's a real mess. We actually wound up taking, I think, 27 teeth out of his head. And he came in the next day, and this is a very anxious guy who was afraid because his, his he, he wasn't telling his wife that he wasn't getting dental care, and there was no hope for him. He was a full denture case. And he was so nervous about it. The next day he came in, and he was bleeding from one area. And I was excited because 27 other areas were perfect. Right. And he's so upset, and his blood I'm just looking at his eyes, and his blood pressure's going up. And his wife is like, it's okay. I'm like, look, here's a tea bag. Bite on this for an hour, and you have to be quiet for the rest of the day. So he's arguing with me. I'm like, no, you have to. And I finally looked at his wife. I said, you have to keep him quiet for the rest of the day. That's what's keeping his bleeding. He keeps disturbing it. And I called her today, actually in the airport, and I talked to her, and she said he's doing much better, and I heard him mumbling in the background. She was laughing. And I told her, I said, I just want you to know that you're a saint. And she laughed. Because
you know what this reminds me of is I have a lot of people when they get a little money and they get successful and they're a little older in dentistry, they want to go and do those dental missions, Doctors Without Borders. Like
yes.
It sounds like you found those same patients that you would normally see in the Amazonian jungle, you know, right here in Tenton Falls. So
it's very interesting because we have a lot of wonderful patients who have come to us through sedation who now that we've gotten to know them as a normal person, not a fearful person coming in, the first thing they come out of their mouth is, Doc, no offense, but I hate dentists.
Right. Now, do any of them refer? Because, you know, the kind of the word is they don't refer, but have you noticed that to be true or not?
Oh, no, they definitely refer.
They can't go find you another sedation case, probably. But
no, they can. They can. We had a patient in the other day who sent another sedation patient.
I know who you're talking about.
And, you know, two good cases.
Wow.
People who are fearful know other people who are fearful. And it's
kind of mentally marked them as allies. And so they can go back when they get.
Well, the one patient Ruth's talking about, when she came in before she got too sedated, I said to her, I wanted to thank you for referring that person. That was so nice of you. And she said, oh, you guys took such good care of me. And, you know, we had a little bonding moment there. And then after she was sedated, Ruth called her the next day and she didn't remember any of it.
She asked me again. She said, did I tell you I referred a patient to you?
Is that right?
It's really funny.